Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thought to get our mind off the world and on Jesus. You know, I just try to think what it would be like to behold in Him, you know, in our eyes, just to see Him, to get a glimpse of Him. And you know, we know that when He was on this earth, that, you know, if you could just touch the hem of His garment or just reach out to Him, you know, just trust in Him. He had answers. He knew how to heal. He knew how to save. You know, there was nothing too hard for Him at all. And there still isn't, for He's the same God. If we could just get to that place where we can just reach out, believe, trust, accept, you know, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to do these things that we have great need of. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. I'm also going to add a prayer for some friends in Texas, the Zavalas. They called before I left tonight, and they have a piece of property that they want to buy, and there's one hiccup, and certain individuals don't want to give them access to the utilities, and otherwise everything else has really fallen in place. It's a beautiful property, and it's going to help them to get a downsize and come across a piece of land that should be a lot less in tax money and all that sort of thing. But it's a beautiful, kind of quiet place, and all this thing. We're going to put a home up in that on that property, but they got this hiccup, and they just want to know, you know, what God would have them to do, and, you know, what they should pursue, or if God is trying to say, hey, there's something else for you. So let's lift them up also as we pray here tonight. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You again, Lord, that we can put our hope, our trust in Thee, Lord. Oh, we thank You that we have this privilege of coming to You, Lord. Oh, Lord, that we can seek You, Lord, that we can trust You, Lord. Oh, God, our hope is in You, Lord. And there is nothing too hard for You, Lord. And God, I'm asking, Lord, I'm asking that You would touch Samuel, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, that he would not have to be put on this mat, Lord. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You would help his blood pressure to go down, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord, we give You this situation, God, in the name of Jesus, for all things are subject unto You, and there is nothing too hard for You, Lord Jesus. We're asking, God, we're bringing it before Thee. Oh, God, we're, oh, God, catching a glimpse of Thy face, Lord, and, oh, Lord, touching Thee, oh, Lord, by words of faith, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that You'd move, Lord Jesus. Also, Lord, I pray that You'd have the Zavalas to know what to do, Lord, in this matter, Lord. If it is Thy will that they have this property, then, oh God, let this hindrance be removed, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, we give it to You, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, oh God, of this lady that's holding on to the rights that will not submit or has not yet. I pray, oh God, that You would talk to her, Lord. Oh God, if it is Thy will that they would have this property, then, Lord, let her be subject unto Thee, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we come against this. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord, we just ask You to intervene, Lord, to move, oh God. And, oh Lord, You know all the needs of Your people, Lord. Wherever we are, oh God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that You would move. I pray that You'd give us faith, Lord. I pray that You would inspire us, Lord, and I pray that You'd help us to get to that higher ground with You, Lord. Oh God, let the devil be rebuked, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let Thy will be done, O Lord, with this service, Lord. If we're still having trouble getting online, I pray, O Lord, that You'd remove that hindrance in the name of Jesus, where we take authority over it in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, that the devil be rebuked, and, oh God, all his devices, oh God, all his hindrances, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. We ask You to move in the name of Jesus, Lord, to help us, O Lord, that this word would come forth, Lord, according to Thy will. Lord, that You direct it. Oh, Lord, that You'd use it, God. Oh, God, we can do nothing without You, Lord. We give this all to You, Lord, knowing, oh, God, oh, Lord, that You are the great I Am, and there is none that is a higher power than Thee, Lord. And, oh, God, oh, Lord, we just ask, oh, Lord, that You would work in a mighty way, that You'd work in our hearts, that You give us faith, Lord. God, that You'd move the mountains that need to go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message here tonight, Faithful Expectations. Faithful Expectations. And as I begin this here tonight, I want to just say, and we all know this, but I want to declare it, that we serve a very faithful God. Amen. He is faithful. He is steadfast. You know what He has declared that He will do. And, you know, if we've walked with Him, if we've grasped a hold of His wonderful salvation, we know how faithful He is. That God that we can turn to under all circumstances, that God who hears our cries, that God who answers our cries. Oh, praise the Lord, the one who gives us strength. Praise the Lord and hope beyond this world. Amen. That's what we have in Jesus. That's what we have in our God. He's faithful and His promises are yea and amen. I like how Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, verse 21. Jeremiah wrote, and this was in the middle of great trouble, as you know, Jerusalem was being taken over and all these other horrendous things were going on. Jeremiah had hope in the Lord. Praise the Lord. He could see everything else that, you know, was going awry. Horrible things that we wouldn't even want to describe. Certainly that we would never want to see. And he was seeing it. But praise the Lord, there's something about it. Oh, yes, when you begin to remember the goodness of the Lord. Oh, yes, and how He is our hope and how He is our faithful God. He writes here in Lamentation 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And listen to this, it says in verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord. In the midst of great trouble, Jeremiah could declare, yes, it's all the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. And praise the Lord, they are new every morning. Praise the Lord is there every morning to give you strength, to give you hope, to answer your prayers, to give you a new day, to give you a new start. That's our God. His compassions fail not. Oh, and they are new every morning. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord. A God who isn't fickle. You know, He isn't one way one moment and another way the next. No, He's that rock. He's stability like we have in no other way or no other means. He is God and He changes not. And His faithfulness is steadfast, it is sure, and we can rely on it. We know what He has said that He will do. He knows how to take us through this world and how to get us home. And you know, when He comes back one of these days, oh yes, when He splits the heavens and behold, there's a white horse. And every eye is going to see Him as He comes forth on that white horse. Sitting on that white horse, and He that is on that white horse is called Faithful and True. Praise the Lord there in Revelation 19. and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Oh, yes, he's coming back to this world. Oh, he's coming back to judge it. And what a day that is going to be as he, oh, yes, the heavens open is. Oh, John saw it here in that 19th chapter of Revelation. And behold, the white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Oh, such a description of him. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Praise the Lord. There he's coming. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that day is coming. Oh, yes, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. That's the God we serve. He's the Almighty One. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's coming back. Praise the Lord. He's coming back to judge this world in righteousness. Praise the Lord. He that is faithful and true. Amen. So our God is faithful, and we could go to many places to establish that detail. In fact, I believe if we walk with the Lord, we know good and well that that's one of his attributes. He's a faithful God. He's true and he's faithful. Amen. But as a faithful God, he has expectations of his people. Oh, yes, there's something that, you know, he's looking for in his people. And it's interesting. If we just turn to Proverbs 20 for a moment here to read this one verse. There's a question asked in Proverbs 20 here. And if we just go there here on Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? And quite a question here. People want to think the best of themselves, and think that they're pretty good, and they're honest and square, and I suppose give them all the credit, take away the doubts, and just think the best of oneself. But there is a question. The question is, but a faithful man, who can find? Is somebody that you can depend upon, somebody that's always there, somebody that is like clockwork, that is going to be there to support you, and just to be there to do the job, whatever is required. But it's a question, because in reality, there aren't always so many people that you could really say are faithful. So the writer is asking this question here. And yet, if we're expecting things of a faithful God, I do declare that he is expecting us likewise to be faithful servants, to be a faithful steward. And if we now turn to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I want to read a few verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says in verse 1 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And then it says in verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So if we're doing any work for God, if we're holding just any type of work in the kingdom of God, there is an expectation that our Heavenly Father has, and that's something that's stated right here in the second verse as a requirement. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And then, you know, Paul is writing here in verse 3, he says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." And he says in verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." Oh yes, that day of revelation, that day when everything is clear, when everything is manifest, and all at once, you know, the hidden things come to the light. Those things that people tried to hide, and, you know, they didn't want anybody to know. Now those things they tried to camouflage, perhaps, or disguise, you know, suddenly everything is going to come to the light, and it's going to be manifest, the things that are in the heart. Oh, how we want to be judged faithful in the sight of God. Oh, how we just would not ever want there to be anything hidden in our hearts that would keep us out of the presence of God. Oh, yes, it would keep us out of heaven. All those things, but that day is certainly coming. Oh, yes, when He will judge this world in righteousness. Amen. Turning here also to Matthew 24th chapter. Matthew chapter 24. Praise the Lord. And you just got something else here to ponder here. We go to the latter part of this chapter. Matthew 24, going here to verse 42. It says in verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of a house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Of course, the Lord Jesus is using this as an analogy and trying to get his point that, you know, yes, he's going to be coming. He's going to be coming back, and it's going to be at a time when many people will not be expecting him. So he says in verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And then a question, verse 45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." I believe we could say that what this verse is saying, that faithful and wise servant that is being spoken of here in verse 45 is the child of God, who at the moment of our Lord's return is going about doing the will of our Father, which is in heaven, that which God has put in our hearts to do, that specific assignment that He has given us as individuals. And praise the Lord, that's how we want to be found, as a faithful and wise servant, that the Lord will make ruler over all His household. But in the meantime, yes, we need to be that servant or that steward that, you know, is going about doing the will of our God. You know, if we're over a household in that capacity, then we, you know, would want to be ready to give those that are under our charge their meat in due season, whatever all is needed, whatever our job assignment is, we would want to be doing it faithfully. And oh yes, that moment when, oh yes, the Lord comes, oh, we would want to be found occupying, doing His will, busy in His endeavors. And praise the Lord, yes, it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. It says, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Oh yes, it's accounting time when the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth. It's time just that we would give an account of the works that we have done here on this earth. And praise the Lord. Oh, how we want to be found faithful and wise at such a moment. Oh yes, we have this promise. Verily I say unto you, of a truth I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. There's going to be that day. No, yes, the rewards are passed out, and yes, we get what is our due. Oh yes, whatever we have merited as we have gone forth and done the will of our Father which is in heaven. But in contrast, it says in verse 48, but, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, we don't want to be, oh, at all, oh, among those that put off the coming of the Lord and say, you know, he's coming maybe in 100 years or down the road, but not now. And I'm just going to live, drink, and be merry. I'm just going to do what pleases me. That evil servant that says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. He's not coming right now. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Oh, no good at all. And oh, yes, you know, the beginning to do those wicked things. He mentions specifically to smite his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunken. But, you know, and there's a whole lot more to it than just that. It's like careless, indifferent attitude, one that's contrary to the will of God, that, you know, decides to just drift away and do, again, the things that individual wants to do in their carnal nature, in their carnal self. But yes, we're told that the Lord of that servant then is going to come in a day when he's not looking. You know, he's going to be off, you know, having his party or having his good time, you know, watching that X-rated movie or whatever all, you know, he decided to do to let go of, you know, that card game or whatever all, you know, and the things that, you know, were not appropriate. Oh, yes. We don't want to be in that category, do we? Oh, because, yes, judgment will be forthcoming. He shall be cut asunder, it tells us, and appointed his portion with the hypocrites. And there, I'm not reading it quite accurately there. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, yes, no, we don't want to do the things that displease the Lord, to let go of the standards that God has for His people and go and run with the heathen and, you know, do things that are unacceptable in the sight of God. We don't want to let down our guard and, you know, live in some kind of, you know, fantasy world. You know, read things that, you know, certainly will bring our spirit down. Put all kinds of unclean thoughts in our heart. No, we don't want runaway thoughts. We don't want to be living in that kind of regard. We don't want to, you know, all be going to the taverns and, you know, drinking up a storm and, you know, taking in whatever all that's abominational in the sight of God. No way. Oh, no. I'm so thankful that we have these opportunities to get right and to do the Lord's will. Oh, yes. Because, oh, yes, as it says in the Proverbs, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man who can find, I'll tell you what, though, it's obviously extremely necessary that we be faithful if we're going to meet the Lord in peace and hear Him say, well done. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm turning the page right now to Matthew chapter 25. And again, there's more scripture here that, you know, helps us to know the need to watch and to guard our spirits and to wait for the return of our Lord and Savior. I'm starting on verse 13 here in Matthew 25, where it says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Now, I'm just going to stop here a moment. And we know that Jesus is using this parable to illustrate his return. And in the meantime, yes, he's likening himself here to, you know, a man that, you know, obviously has servants and has property and, you know, has some kind of estate or whatever. And, you know, it's needful for this man to travel to a far country. And actually, Luke 19 has a parable, and you know, it's similar. Only the story there in Luke 19 has some details that aren't given here in Matthew 25. But I think we can grasp a lot of this parable that Jesus is telling. So anyway, you know, before he leaves, the Lord of this property is giving charge to his servants. And he's giving them the things that he wants them to tend to. He's giving them each, you know, their assignment, so to speak. And, you know, it's diverse. They're all not going to be doing the same thing. I mean, you know, do we all do the same thing? I think not. I think the Lord needs us in many capacities. We all have our own little role in the things that God gave us as individuals to do for Him. So praise the Lord. It tells us here, you know, unto one of his servants he gave 5 talents. In another he gave 2. In another he gave 1. And then, you know, down the line, you know, whatever all, how many he had, to every man according to his several abilities. So they were dispersed according to that particular person's ability. And you know, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. We all, like, you know, we all have our little place in God's kingdom. We all have our role, the thing that God gave us to do. And, you know, we all don't do the same things, as I said a moment ago. You know, we all have something specific to do. And you know, if we all do our part, then everything will get done. It'll be complete. It'll be 100%. How wonderful. But anyway, yes, this Lord knew that, these tasks had to be done in his absence. And he's not going to tell them when I'm coming back. You know, he gave them the charge, and you know, I'm sure everything was taken care of so that everything could continue as it needed to and all the needs be taken care of. You know, I believe it was, you know, a complete list so that things could function. And I believe that's how the Lord has put it with us too. You know, he's given us all a mission, an endeavor, something that we could do for him. And again, yeah, we just do it, you know. You know, it might be one particular thing, it might be two, it might be five, you know, and on the list, all according to our several abilities. And, you know, the Lord expects us, our Lord, our Savior, you know, he expects us in his absence because, you know, he told us very clearly that he was going away to prepare a place for us. And, you know, he goes away to prepare a place for us. He's going to come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also, as it tells us in John the 14th chapter. Praise the Lord. So anyway, we've all got our assignments. And we know our Lord is going to come back one of these days. We don't know the day or the hour. But the thing is, see, we want to be, as it puts it in that 19th chapter of Luke, we want to be occupying until he comes. We want to be going about doing our Father's will. And so here's this parable that Jesus was telling here to liken it unto us, and to himself, and in our need to be busy, to be serving our Lord, yes, to be fulfilling the assignment that he has given us specifically to do as individuals. So he took his journey. And it says in verse 16, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. See, there was a need. You had to use that which was given you. Your need to invest into the kingdom of God, to do something, you know, not just to stand still. God forbid. In fact, we have this example here in verse 18. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Oh, I guess I was going to be safe. I don't dare do anything. I'm going to just dig a hole deep into the earth and, you know, nobody will find it. And when he comes back, he'll be there. But he wasn't going to invest. He wasn't going to use it. He wasn't going to do anything else. And it tells us, verse 19, after a long time, oh yes, our Lord's been gone a while, you know, 2,000 years pretty much since he walked the earth here. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. See, when he comes back, it's reckoning time. Now, okay, I gave you five talents. What did you do with them? Hey, I gave you two talents. What did you do with them? Oh, I gave you one. What did you do with it? So it was reckoning time. And so it will be when our Lord returns. Oh, yes. Oh, if you don't know it already, we know that he came the first time to save us from our sin. Oh, yes. To make a way so we could come to him in faith and find him as our Lord and Savior. And we could give our lives and we could repent of our rotten, dirty deeds and turn them over to the Lord Jesus and be baptized in his name. Praise the Lord. And, oh, yes, he would pour out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, so we could do his will, so we could, you know, be a witness. We could be a light, so his light could be within our very being. Praise the Lord. But, you know, when he comes back, it's going to be reckoning day. It's going to be the day that we must give an account of the things that we did while we lived on this earth. And so it was here in verse 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's what we're looking to hear. Oh, that's what we want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. It tells us in verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But verse 24 tells us, Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Did that meet the approval of his Lord? His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, we don't want to be in that class, do we? We don't want to become an outcast from the presence of the Lord. We don't want to be cast into that outer darkness, that horrendous place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, that place. Oh, that's reserved for those that did not do the will of their Father which was in heaven. There is no way we want to go to that place, that lake of fire. Oh my, no way at all. But we see the Lord Jesus gave that parable. And it should be very striking because, as I have said, we've all been given some ability, something that we can do for the Lord. And, it does tell us in Luke the 12th chapter, for on to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. And our God is going to be fair. He gave them several to their ability. And, we don't know as the rewards were passed out exactly in this case here, in this parable, what specifics were given them. But we know that they definitely were rewarded according to that which they had done. But see, the great need, is to be out there investing in the things of God, to be doing something, that will bear fruit, something that we can give back to our Lord so that one day we can stand before Him and have something to give Him. Something that we've done, some endeavor, something that we can show for our little space here on earth. Our time here on earth is short. But those that were faithful, they did those things that the Lord had put within them to do. And they were faithful. They invested into the kingdom of God and became profitable servants. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Our God is wonderful. I do thank God that in His Word we are given many, many specifics of things that we can do to apply the will of God in our life, to do the will of God. And with His help, I hope to go there. And I'm not sure just how far I'll get here, but we'll give it a try here tonight. And I pray that, you know, the Lord will show us what we need to know. You know, it tells us to start with here from Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm just going to read a verse here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. And this is the verse that got me going today. I really was going to go in another direction, I thought, last night. But this morning the Lord began to show me some things. And this is the verse that He put on my heart. So here it is. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Very interesting here. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do," and it's talking about good things, profitable things. And how does it tell us to do them? It says, "with all thy might," and with our strength, you know, oh, with all that we have. Because, you know, as I said a few minutes ago, this life here on earth is short. And here, you know, He's talking. Solomon, if he wrote this, he's saying there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. And, I mean, I believe this is saying that, you know, after this life is over, our opportunities are over. You know, it's not going to be time to do the work of the Lord, the endeavors, you know, the things that we need to do right now. It's going to be over. That those opportunities, that door is closed at that point. But praise the Lord, while we live, while we have breath, we can do whatsoever our hands find to do. And, you know, if we can't work with our hands, I'll tell you what, we can always pray. We can always, you know, help somebody, you know, in some way or the other. Oh, maybe even make telephone calls, maybe write letters, or I mean, whatever, all. The Lord's going to put something on our heart if we ask Him what He would have us to do. I'm sure He's going to give an assignment to each and every one of us. And so along with this thought, so whatsoever our hand findeth to do it with by might, I want to go to Colossians here, to the third chapter, and read a few verses here. I could read the whole chapter, but I don't think I can here tonight. But let's go to the end of it here. It tells us, if we go to Colossians chapter 3, let's go to verse 23. It says, kind of along that the line of that verse there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. It says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." Okay, so that tells us there's an attitude here. You know, whatever we do, it's not just to do it, get it done with, you know. Oh, just, you know, make some kind of show perhaps. No, but to do it heartily, with our heart, you know, with a great effort, with our strength, you know, wanting to do it our best, to do it as to the Lord and not unto men. Then it says in verse 24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." See how that goes along with, you know, the parables that Jesus told, you know, that, yeah, there's that time, you know, when you're going to receive the reward of the inheritance for these things that you do. If you're doing it unto the Lord, you're serving the Lord Jesus. You're doing it unto Him. "For you serve the Lord Christ," it says. "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons." Very important point there. I mean, some people think that they have special status, or think, you know, because of this or that, that that's going to give them a special privilege. But with God, it's not going to work. Oh, He sees through everything. He knows everything. He's watched every step of our lives. And He's going to know what we did unto Him and what we did for show, or, you know, even out of spite or whatever all. But that payback day is coming. And boy, we're all going to stand before that judgment seat of God. And at that point, there's going to be no respect of persons. He's going to judge us according to His righteous judgment. Amen. Amen. And now I'd like to go to Ephesians. We turn a few pages to Ephesians here. And we'll go to the 6th chapter of Ephesians here. And there's also some of the details also given there in Colossians. But I think maybe there's a little more detail here in this chapter in Ephesians. So it tells us in verse 1 here in Ephesians chapter 6, it's talking about attitudes. And how, you know, we can be faithful in application. It tells us, as you know, it's this, first of all, admonishing the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Oh, that rebellious spirit in children isn't going to get them any place with God. Oh, no, God has ordained that you children would be in submission to their parents, particularly their parents in the Lord. For this is right, and it's very needful to honor one's father and mother. That is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And I'll tell you what, we do live in a society where there's a lot of rebellion. Oh, yes, we've been watching it for a while. And, you know, the uprising among the youth and, you know, the disregard for law and order, for their parents, for their teachers, and those that would instruct them properly. Older people, too, that you think they can live together as a man and a woman and not be married. You live in fornication and think, you know, they can somehow squeak by. I tell you what, that's so common these days. People hardly wink at it anymore. Or they wink at it, I guess is what they do. But anyway, you know, it's like, you know, it's so common that who's thinking about it, huh? Who's wondering? But I tell you what, that doesn't work. In the eyes of God, all the things that, you know, people think that they're going to get by with, you know, and now, you know, there's this homosexual spirit that has risen up in the land, and, you know, I have a feeling that if there's another 10 years, I don't know, the Lord is coming soon, I don't know if there is, but if there would be, I just doubt that, you know, people would hardly know the difference. It is already highly disregarded in many cases, and approval is given to relationships that are terribly wrong in the sight of God. And oh, how important it is. Oh, yes. Oh, to preach it from the pulpit. Oh, yes, to declare it. If you're a parent, oh, yes, to your children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, the respect for the Almighty One, the God who's going to judge us one day. So we have this need here. Then it tells us in verse 5, oh, yes, the attitude for servants. And, you know, if we're employed, you know, at a place of employment and we have a job to do, I would think this would apply. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. You know, so, you know, if you're doing it in singleness, you don't have ulterior motives, and you know you're doing it, you know, in simplicity and purity, you know, just conniving, you know, think if I do this, then I'll get that, you know, for trying to get some kind of advantage. But, you know, you're supposed to be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. See, everything we do is supposed to be unto the Lord. If you can't do it unto God, you better not do it at all. I mean, if it's something that they're telling you to do that's wicked, then you can't do it unto the Lord, then I think, wow, we just can't do it at all. But, you know, if it's an assignment that, you know, we can respect and we are told to do it unto Christ. And it says in verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, you know, the attitude here, to want to do it, you know, because it's in your heart to do it, not grudgingly, oh, I hate doing this. And, or maybe, you know, eye service is kind of like, oh, making it look real good, you know, while the boss is looking, you know, and I'll, you know, straighten everything and, you know, make everything, you know, start typing on my computer and, you know, acting like, oh, I'm really busy. But, you know, no, no, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, it's all, there's an attitude here, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to man. Even these simple assignments, it's not to please people, it's to do it unto the Lord, and, you know, to do it to the best of our ability, you know, so that really it would please the assigner also, I you know, but we're doing it, you know, for the kingdom's sake. Amen. It's unto the Lord from our heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know, the Lord's going to see it all, and he knows the heart, he knows the attitude. If you do it, you know, even with giving, you know how the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. You know, the Lord sees it. You know, we're not to give grudgingly, you know, oh, I gotta do it. And I mean, that goes for more than just giving an offering or a tithe or, you know, making a meal or anything. We want to do it, you know, with our best. It's unto the Lord. And because the Lord sees it. Oh, yes, he's our master. He's the one that we're serving, and we would like his light to be reflected by the things we do, by the words of our mouth, by the way we conduct ourselves. Oh, yes, amen. We want to give a good testimony before man. And then it goes on to say, and ye masters, in verse 9, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven. And here it is again, neither is there respect of persons with God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, these words of advice to help us to know how to be faithful servants and how to apply this before the living God who sees us, who watches us, who knows us. Oh, yes, the one that we're going to stand before. Oh, yes, one of these days it's going to happen. Amen. And I'd also like to go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Praise the Lord. This chapter 2 is just full of wonderful applications here that we can apply here to be faithful unto our God. It tells us, and I could elaborate a long time on these first two verses, but I think I'm going to probably not, but still, these are wonderful verses. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, you know, this attitude. You know, we give our lives to the Lord, and you know, it's what He expects of us. It's reasonable. This living sacrifice, this dedication to the work of the Lord, doing all things unto God. This is, you know, what is expected of us by God Almighty. And here, you know, Paul is beseeching the people. Oh, he's begging them that they would have this kind of spirit by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And oh, yes, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, that's what our living all is all about, to do the will of God. You know, to do His acceptable will. We want to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what our existence is about. That's why we're here. That's what we're trying to do. That's what He's going to expect of us. And praise the Lord, it's not going to happen if we're conformed to the world. You know, we're in that kind of rut where, you know, we're just men pleasers and doing things that, you know, everybody else does. And, you know, there's no difference in us and, you know, Joe down the street or Betty Lou. You know, then what kind of light are we in this world that desperately needs to see the light of Jesus Christ? But instead, oh, praise the Lord, He gives us the Holy Ghost. Oh, He gives us the Holy Ghost power so that we can be transformed. We can be changed. We can be a light. All those old things that pass away, all those, our life becomes new by the grace and mercy of our God. Praise the Lord. Yes, because yes, we've got a mission. We've got something that we've got to accomplish. We've got to go forth and do that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, like I'm trying to stress how we all have our own little area, our own little assignments, you know, our own, as it's put here, measure of faith. And that's, you know, God expects us to work accordingly, you know, appropriately along those lines. He explains in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we're not all called to do the same thing. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we all have a role in the family of God. And like I said earlier, if we all do our part, then it'd all get done. Praise the Lord, the will of God would be completed. And it says in verse 6, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, whatever we're doing, we're to do it unto the Lord, you know, with a right spirit, a spirit that's trying to please the Lord and do His will. And then in verse 9, he gives some very, you know, specific things here now in these next verses. He says in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. And that means without hypocrisy. You're not putting on a show. You're not, you know, trying to pretend that, you know, you have this affection that you really don't. I mean, it is something to consider here. Let love be without dissimulation. And then it says, and these are simple little things, so why we need to apply them to our lives so that we can be faithful servants. It says, abhor that which is evil. That means hate those things that God hates, those things that are despicable in His sight. Abhor them, hate them. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Oh, that means to cling to the things that are good. Oh, the wonderful things of God. Oh, the attributes of His Spirit, the kind, merciful things that we can do for one another. It tells us in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. See, you know, that regard one for another, to have that esteem, that affection one to another, and in honor preferring one another. There's a lot there, a lot to consider. And then it says in verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, all these little things are a reflection on how we esteem the things of God. If you're slothful in business, then, you know, you're putting that kind of light on yourself. And if you're calling yourself a Christian, I tell you what, it's not a good light at all. It says not slothful, or that means lazy, careless in business. And it says fervent in spirit. Oh, to have a zeal, a fervency, an ardent spirit here, you know, to all of this, serving the Lord, and, you know, doing things with heart, with mind, you know, with zeal, and you know, with cheerfulness, and, you know, the attitude, all these things that make such a difference. It says in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And boy, that's, you know, we all need this. You know, we all, you know, there's that hope that we rejoice in, that hope, you know, that we're looking for, that day of the Lord, and the things that, you know, we are hoping for by the grace of God. We can rejoice in the good things of God, knowing that, yes, if we live by faith, if we do His will, if we're steadfast, we will one day be able to rejoice in such. Oh, yes, and it says patient in tribulation. Oh, things do happen that we would rather not. Oh, things that might be hard to bear, but yet it tells us here to be patient. When you're going through those trials, when you're going through those tests, when you're going through those confusing times when things don't add up, you might be in pain, you know, you might be in poverty, you know, you might need answers that don't seem to be coming, you know, you might be persecuted, afflicted. God knows what is going on, but oh, to be patient at such a time. Oh, at such a moment when life is not easy. Oh, patient in tribulation. And oh, I like this next little part, continuing instant in prayer. I'm so grateful that we can always reach out to the living God. Oh, that instant in prayer. Oh, yes, always crying out to God. You know, there's a need, there's a problem, there's something. The Lord puts somebody in our hearts, or, you know, we talk to somebody. Oh, they need prayer, you know. Oh, we can pray, we can cry out to the Lord, we can bring it to God. Always instant in prayer. Continuing always to be instant in prayer. And then it says, distributing to the necessity of saints. Oh, sharing and giving of what we can. Oh, yes, to help other people, to supply their needs. It says, given to hospitality. Oh, yes, welcoming and helping other people. Yes, being hospitable to them. And then, verse 14, it says, bless them which persecute you. Oh, some of these things aren't going to take, you know, the nature of Christ. Oh, it's not so easy when somebody is really, giving you great difficulties, maybe great pain, you know, maybe great affliction one way or the other. But instead of cursing them, which some may consider? It says not. Instead, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Amen. That's our attitude. Oh, yes, these things that we want to retain. Deep down it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Oh, in other words, you know, we don't want to treat somebody because, you know, they are high up on the list. They have a lot of money, or they have power, they have a position, they have a title. You know, it says not to mind things, high things like that, but rather to condescend to men of low estate. You know, even though, you know, the poorest of the poor. The homeless come into this place. You know, it's telling us to have a proper attitude, to not treat that raggedly dressed person, you know, less than we would somebody who comes in properly dressed, I guess you could say. But, you know, or better dressed. You know, there's not to be that differentiation at all. But it says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Oh, yes, you know, in our own thinking, to, you know, put that above everything else. And always, you know, think that you're on... atop of the mountain and above everybody else and all that kind of thing, that conceited type of mentality. No way. But it says in verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Oh, yes, you know, the natural man, the carnal man would, you know, try to repay, you know, evil. You know, if somebody treats you evil, do it back. You know, give them back, you know, what they gave you. But here we're told contrary. It says to recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Oh, God sees, God knows. He knows what's right, He knows what's wrong. You can't cover it up in the sight of God. So we want to be open and honest in the sight of all men, it tells us. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Oh, yes, we don't want to be agitators. You know, we don't want to be troublemakers. We're not here to stir up trouble, in other words. Oh, trouble may come, and there are some people that probably won't live peaceably with us. So, but yet, you know, we're not going to stir them up and make them all the more angry and you know, have contrary spirits. We'll do the best we can in this regard. In other words, then it says in verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And this summarizes it, it seems, verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, praise the Lord. You don't know the impact you might make on a life. They might treat you raunchy. They might be the meanest, cruelest person. They might look at you with, you know, these narrowed eyes and say terrible things about you. But oh, why, we're not to go their route. Praise the Lord, we give it to the Lord. Praise the Lord, vengeance is His. Payday is coming. It's all going to come out in the wash. And therefore, well, we can be the contrary person in that regard. Not, you know, giving, you know, evil for evil, vengeance for vengeance. But instead, if our enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, those things that we do, oh, it reflects on how we are and how we want to be accounted as that faithful steward. Oh, yes, when we stand before the Lord, the one, oh, yes, that has been going about doing, oh, the will of our Master, of our Savior, of our God. Praise the Lord. And you know, all those little things that we do, one for another, we could go to Matthew 25 and talk about, oh yes, how he that was hungry, you know, we gave them meat, and thirsty and gave them drink, and stranger and took them in, you know, naked and we clothed them and all that. Oh, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Praise the Lord, these things that we do for one another, we are actually doing it unto the Lord. Praise the Lord, and oh my, it's all because we know one day we're going to stand before the great judge, the righteous judge, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And oh yes, as he comes back to this earth, all those that are with him, they are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. Oh, we want to be faithful. Oh yes, so that one day we could receive that crown of life. Oh yes, regardless of other attitudes and other people's thinking and all the other things that go awry, we want to be doing service to our God, a faithful servant that goes about doing our Master's will, so that, oh yes, we can be accounted worthy to stand before him and to be judged righteous in his sight. Oh yes, to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh yes, thou hast done a little. Oh yes, but oh, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what we want to hear our God say. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, to be accounted worthy, to be accounted faithful, to be able to stand before him and hear him say, well done. Oh, that's what our life is about. I pray, oh God, that God will give us that fervency, that great desire, oh yes, to go forth and do it. Oh yes, that we will all be accounted worthy to stand before him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise thy holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We do worship you, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to be thy faithful servants. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus, oh, we praise you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 86 and sing, I'm going to work and watch and pray for 86. I'm going to work and watch and pray. I'm going to spend it every day. I'm going to sing his praises glory by and by. I'm going to listen to his voice. I'm going to make his will and voice. I'm going to rise to you in the morning. Thank you.
morning rain.